Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ with the words of the Apostle Paul when he says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Hearty welcome. Each one that has come this morning, welcome those who are live stream watching the service this morning. May we just be blessed in a special way as we look into God's Word and allow God's Word to speak to our hearts. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, Father in heaven, this morning as you look down upon us, you see that your children have gathered in your house of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, for this privilege we have in this country, that we can do that freely. And help us, Lord, never to take those moments for granted. Father, as we see the world around us changing, we realize that you're drawing closer. Your coming is drawing closer. And Father, we pray that we would just use each moment that is made available to us to study in your word, to search our hearts, and Lord, to become more the image of you, the one who bears the marks of our redemption. Father, we thank you that for each one that has come, thank you for those who are tuned in, live streaming. Lord, we pray a special blessing upon this morning's service. Bring honor and glory to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. This time we're going to begin with a few songs.
In the blue hymnal number 62, "Just As I Am." Number 110, "Sweet Hour of Prayer." Feel free to stand too as you like.
Mm-hmm.
wonderful words of life. 328. 338.
Huh? 326? Okay. Maybe it's number one.
So 326 is correct? All right. 326 it is.
That's in the blue hymnal?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. 326. Let's make sure it's wonderful words of life.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty sing, wonderful words of life.
Thank you for that hearty singing. Beautiful words, wonderful words. Wonderful words of life. This morning, service chosen to title the topic, What's It Worth? As people in the church or out of the church, we look at things in life and we ask, what is it worth? What is the value of it? And for some reason or other, we have a mental gauge, if you will, and we value things. Real estate, vehicles, bank accounts, investments, all those things that we look at, the things that we work with, and we try to put together a package and see what's it worth. I'm not bringing that up this morning to say that it's wrong. But we want to look at this from a personal perspective through the eyes of Almighty God. How about our salvation? What's it worth to you? What's it worth to me? Christ shed his blood on the cross for all mankind. Paid a price. And sometimes we feel somewhat lonely, if you will, possibly forgotten. And sometimes even we, I don't know about you, but I have to be careful that I don't pity myself. But God created us for a purpose in this life. We need to look at it from God's perspective. What are you worth in his eyes? What am I worth in his eyes? What's it worth? And so this morning we just want to look into God's word. And if you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 31. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 to 31. And Jesus uses a bit of an illustration to give us a bit of understanding what we are worth in his eyes, the eyes of Almighty God. And he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus here begins with a bit of a comparison, but he also makes it very clear that he's talking to his disciples and he helps them understand their value. He says, even if a sparrow falls to the ground out of the many birds that are there, he said, it does not go unnoticed by the Father. And then he goes on to say, and you are much more value than the birds, the sparrows. And he brings up the point that he counts the hair on our head. Should we ever come to the point in life where we think that I'm nothing? Or that God has forgotten me, forsaken me. Even though we are sinners by birth, our first nature is a sinful nature, and we can't do anything about it. But God's love is extended to us. And when we think about God's love, what comes to mind is that he would be concerned about us. And even to know that he knows the number of hairs that you and I have on our heads, he's concerned. He loves his creation. He loves mankind. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, Paul goes on to say, but God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ did not just die for our benefit, if you will, but he took my place and he took your place. That is what Paul is talking about. He says, when we were sinners, Christ died for us. What comes up is a love of God towards his people. Unworthy as we are. and God continues to love us. And in John chapter 15, verse 16, John chapter 15, verse 16, Jesus says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give you." This was by Christ's appointment. It was not our choice, but Jesus Christ made it possible. And some of us may very well relate to that, feeling unworthy to come before him, feeling that our sinfulness has somewhat set up a barrier that we're out of the picture. But when we think about God recognizing even a sparrow when it falls to the ground, and he says, "And how much more value are you?" We know that Christ went out of his way. He went out of his comfort zone in order to bring us back into that relationship that was severed because of the choice that Adam and Eve made. And here he goes on to say, "I have chosen you. You have not chosen me." Jesus Christ continues to extend his hand of invitation to us. In John chapter 17, verse 23 and 24. 22 to 24. We see here that Christ prays for all the believers. And he says in verse 22, "And the glory which thou gavest me have I given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one." Let's just look into the distance a little bit. Jesus Christ is talking about the church, about his body, to become one. The love that Christ has extended to us, he wants that love to flow within the body of Christ. And he says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one." Perfect in one. Paul talks about Jesus Christ coming back to receive his bride, and that it would be without spot and without wrinkle. And then he goes on, "And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hath loved them as thou hast loved me." That the world may know. Friends, this morning I think about that. What kind of a testimony, or what kind of a witness are we in society that the world may take notice that these are God's children? That's what he's bringing out here. He's praying for the believers, and he said, verse 24, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory." That they may behold my glory. God's light is supposed to shine through all the darkness. And then he finishes that verse and he says, "Which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." God had a purpose in Christ's life. And he has a purpose in my life. He has a purpose in your life. And it's interesting that sometimes we We would just love to know what God's purpose is for us in the future, wouldn't we? But he tells us that we are to rely on him, to trust him, to be faithful where he has called us today, and he will take us to the next level. As we think about the church as a body of believers being one in spirit, and he talks about being perfect without spot or wrinkle, it doesn't tell us that we're not going to make mistakes, but that our zeal always ought to be pleasing to Christ. We turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 19 and 20. We find very familiar verses that Paul is leaving with the Corinthian church. And he says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not our own?" You know, it's interesting when we study the book of Corinthians, the book of Romans, 13 times, Paul uses the same phrase. He says, "What? Know ye not?" God's word never changes, and it was not difficult for them to understand, but he became frustrated because these people really didn't change. They knew the word of God. They had heard it, but he brings that up again and again. He says, "Know ye not?" He says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We need to take these few verses personally, pertaining the person itself. And he's talking about the temple of the Holy Ghost. And he says, our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. We've been bought with a price. I want to put it this way. We're not for sale. We've sold out. We've sold out to Christ. We've submitted ourselves to his spirit. In the Old Testament, the temple or the tabernacle was a habitation of God. It was a place where God's name was, where his presence was found. We turn back just a few chapters and we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Here we see that he is talking about the temple, the church, as not as an individual believer, but as a body of Christ. Jesus, when he prayed in John chapter 17, he said that they may all be as one. And this is where that points to, as the body of Christ. In chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it was talking to us personally. Here he is talking to us as a church, and he says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple are you?" Which temple ye are, I should say. We profess to be the temple of God, the church. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Paul says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are also builded together as an habitation of God through the Spirit." He is talking about a building built together, put together. And he says, fitly framed together. And when we think about what he is saying here, it talks about perfectly. That it fits. We know that a framer, when he builds something, he'll do his utmost to make the corners fit perfect. And Jesus uses that, or Paul uses that illustration here to help us understand what the body of Christ ought to look like. We read in chapter 2, verse 10 of that same chapter, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." It was only through the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made on our behalf that we are able to do good works. Good works won't save us. But good works is the result of our surrendering to Jesus Christ and allowing his Spirit to work through us. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, Peter says this, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a personal house, a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Here, the Apostle Peter is using a bit of an illustration. And he's talking about a spiritual house. Let's for just a moment imagine a building built with bricks. Some of you will very well understand what that means. I have not grown up in a building made with bricks or stone. But I can imagine what that looks like. Some of you probably know exactly what this talks about. A building where the walls are put together with bricks. And it becomes a strong building. Peter here talks about a spiritual house of lively stones. Let's just for a moment imagine you being one stone and I am one stone, and each one of us represent a stone in the building of God's house. We get one stone that is possibly one that does a lot of idle talk. On a yerid. Or we have one stone that is struggling with anger, resentment, unforgiveness. Or we have one stone and it's an alcoholic. We have one stone who's an idolater, where money and wealth is everything to him. We have one stone who's into pornography. We have one stone that's of fornication and adultery. We have one stone that does not fear God. Or we have one stone that is simply conformed to the world. And I just bring this up because this is what he talks about. Different stones. Bunch of stones, and we're building a building. And we put all these into the mix. Let's ask ourselves, how strong can that building be? Can it stand the test of time? It can't. Peter uses some very practical illustrations for us to understand that we need to let go of self. We need to be purified by the Spirit. If we're going to be members of the Church of Jesus Christ without spot or wrinkle, we need to put all these things aside. As a matter of fact, it talks in Hebrews, putting aside all the weight and sin that so easily besets us. And friends, that's what we need to do. We need to put all that aside. If we're going to be building a spiritual house that will stand, that will be observed by the people who have not become part of that, that will draw the people in like the salt of the earth does, that he's calling us for, it'll make a difference. Jesus says we are to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world. What does salt do? Salt, you have some salt and you become thirsty. You want to drink water. You have some salt, and salt preserves, doesn't it? Salt cures. And he tells us to be the salt of the earth. Are we valuable in the sight of God? Absolutely we are. But I want to leave you with this thought this morning. When we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, I'll put it this way, if I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I don't own my body anymore. It's His. And he tells us in Romans chapter 8 to be a living sacrifice. You know, we sing this song, I surrender all. And sometimes we find ourselves in idle gossip, saying things that are unnecessary. Friends, when we surrender all, we bring it all at the foot of the cross, and that's where we leave it. And if I have sold out, if I have been bought with a price, and it's not silver and gold, but the blood of Jesus Christ, then I'm not my own anymore. I don't own this body. I would encourage us in closing this morning, you are valuable in the sight of God. Only because of the blood of Christ. Because he made us worthy to come back into that fellowship. I want to say this, friends. If we have not sold out yet, let's do it. Let's take everything that we've been holding back. Just say, Lord, here am I. Use me as you see fit. He understands us. And the beautiful thing is he gets down to our level where we are. We need not be ashamed coming before him, just seeking forgiveness again and again. Even though this body belongs to Jesus Christ, the nature that we ought to have now is that new nature, that born-again nature. We are no more strangers and foreigners in this land. But we are chosen by him to go out and bear fruit. And God will add his blessing to it. Let us close with a word of prayer. Our gracious God, in closing this morning, we thank you for the encouragement we find in your word, because it reminds us again and again, even through all of our failures and shortcomings, how valuable we are in your sight, that we have value. Lord, when we look at the things around us, and we're very soon ready to put a value to each thing. But you tell us in your word that all these things will someday perish. They'll be gone. But how about the soul? Father, we thank you that you value us. And then, and that when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us and brought us back into your fellowship. Father, should there be someone here who has not sold out for the sake of Jesus Christ, that he would do it today, this very moment, that we might be able to, from the depth of our heart, echo the words, I surrender all, Lord Jesus. Just as I am, I come to you. Father, may your spirit have free course. Draw us ever closer as we see the time of your return is drawing near. Lord, and when you come, that the bride would be ready, without spot, without wrinkle, to receive the bridegroom. Come home. Father, I ask your blessing upon each one who has come this morning. May your blessing rest with us and go with us as we depart. In the name of Jesus, amen. I want to give each one the opportunity to go on bended knees. Let's thank Almighty God that we are worthy because of the blood of Christ. And he tells us in his word that he values us more than the sparrows. Anything else that you have in your heart, let's kneel in a silent word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. Come to the close of the service this morning. You have some announcements?
Okay. Good morning. I'm just going to read it the way it has been given to me. The Sunday School and Youth Leaders Workshop. It is the call of our teachers and youth leaders to bring our children into the Lord. In order to prepare and motivate our teachers and youth leaders to attend this year's workshop, we ask you as the congregation to pray for the teachers and youth leaders. James 5:16, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lord willing, and we live, the workshop will be held in Altoona Summerfield Church on Saturday, April 23rd, 2022. Registration will start at 9:30. Opening will be at 10 o'clock. We encourage all Sunday school teachers, assistants, spares, children club, and youth leaders to attend. We also encourage them to bring their spouses. This year's team will be preparing to teach following Jesus' example. We also ask you to pray for the speaker, Reverend Jake Fries,
As Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians 3:1, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Thank you, the Sunday School Teachers, the Sunday School Workshop Committee. Yeah, I would just like to encourage you to pray for them. I will put this in the bulletin yet, so then you will have the date and everything, information in the bulletin for the future. Thank you. May God bless you.
Thank you, Jake. Come to the end of the service this morning. I want to thank you all for coming. May the Lord bless you richly as you serve in his kingdom. Let us close with a benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. You may now go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.